You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
It's a conversation that happened on 702 Breakfast. If you were listening to Cape Talk with Kino, you might have missed it, or maybe if you were a little bit late this morning, you may also have missed it in 702 land. An interesting exchange between Bongani Bingwa and Natasha Mazzoni from the Democratic Alliance. So there's a couple of things I want to say here to you, Natasha. Firstly, you asked Bongani rhetorically there in the last question, well, are we allowed to each tell our individual stories? Are we talking about the majority? The answer is the majority. It's dead simple. Because the individual story does not tell you patterns in society. If I tell you that I am a survivor of male rape, it doesn't mean that actually rape affects men and women equally. There's a danger with the individual story. It is seductive. It blackmails us. It induces tears. Because the individual story is very powerful. Stories are powerful. They're psychologically powerful. They land powerfully on the ear. And even if it's not your intention, when you tell a difficult story of a parent that might have been on a ship from Europe because they were expelled from Germany in the 30s, it's a powerful story. But what the individual powerful story can do, it can also be a conversation stopper. Because once a story is emotional and true, that individual story makes it hard for us to then engage that person about patterns in society. And the question is, at the level of pattern, what are the experiences of the majority of whites and the majority of blacks? And you cannot have a conversation about privilege, whether it be male privilege or white privilege, by talking excessively about exceptional individual stories. You just can't. The white guy who is poor, just like the black male who is a victim of sexism, do not tell you what the typifying experience of men and white people are. So yes, indeed, it is about the majority, because many anecdotes do not give you data. Data is about the robust, statistically significant experiences of the numerical majority. So the answer to that question is, yes, indeed, it is about the majority. So that's the first point. The second point is that privilege isn't only about money. Privilege is not only about money. You can have male privilege even if you are poor. Do you know that even a black male security guard has got privilege? In the same way in which a poor white person has got privilege. Privilege is not only about how much money you have in your bank account. Let me read from a really beautiful essay that was written by Sadie Matthews from the Department of Politics at Rhodes University way back in 2011, in a really beautiful discussion about the place of white people in society that was carried in the Mail and Guardian after I'd written a piece on Samantha Weiss, who had written an academic article about what a strange place it is, South Africa, and how do I, as Professor Samantha Weiss, make sense as a white person of my place in this strange place called South Africa. And it sparked a series of interventions. And one of the best ones was, in fact, from Dr. Sally Matthews. And along the way, she writes the following. She says, and I quote, "Perhaps some examples will help make clearer some of the more subtle privileges white people enjoy." And then she writes the following. "When I, as a white woman, enter a shop, the security guard does not single me out as a likely shoplifter. When I am making calls to find a place to rent, my accent and name are unlikely to result in the property owner pretending that a tenant has already been found. All the local schools are happy to have my white son. I'm not afraid that if I set off the burglar alarm at my house, the security guards will arrive and arrest me. My students don't question my credentials when I arrive to give them a lecture, nor do they suspect me of being an affirmative action appointment. If I make a mistake at work, I do not worry that my mistake will confirm a stereotype others have of people of my race. I am given the benefit of the doubt. People call me ma'am. In countless ways, every day, my decency, honesty, and propriety are assumed, making it easier for me to move confidently and smoothly through my day." And this is the point, Natasha Mazzoni. Your dad had that privilege. Apartheid reserved jobs for people like your dad. Apartheid made it easier for people like your dad to use his love of cooking to become a chef so that he could in turn provide for you to the point where you are now one of Democratic South Africa's heroes as one of the most eloquent, sharpest, hard-working MPs. My grandfather didn't have that. He had to call people boss just to get bones that he can buy at the butcher shop. That is the difference. You can be a poor, white immigrant with a slightly dark hue from Italy and still have racialized privileges. And if Musi Maimane cannot articulate that to you, then the irony of that City Press article is that Musi himself is ultimately as illiterate on privilege as some of the white people in the DA.